Hello, and welcome to the Geeky Preacher Podcast, where faith and geek culture collide. I'm John, your resident geeky preacher. So without further ado, let's get into today's show. Now, could y'all please sit tight for 30 seconds for a word from our sponsors. And we're back. So I wanted to take today and discuss one of my favorite new shows of 2022, even though it was just a miniseries, but that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. My generation, I speak for all millennials in this, I could be misrepresenting people, but whatever. I dare say we have all been looking forward to seeing Ewan McGregor back on the screen as Obi-Wan. Like, I immediately was a teenager again, sitting in the theater watching Revenge of the Sith. When I watched the first episode of this, I was so beyond happy. But the more I watched it, not just for Star Wars, but I was looking at different little aspects throughout the show of how this translates to faith, because that's just what I do with most things. And Star Wars tends to lean into that heavily, because you could pull a lot of religious, I don't want to say text, but you can pull a lot of religious themes from Star Wars. Like, I might do it at some point. I know whenever I was a youth pastor, I gave a message like comparing Darth Vader to the prodigal son. That went over really well. I had a few nerds in there, so it was kind of a fun night. But no, so as I watched Obi-Wan, I really saw a lot of elements that could be translated well over into Christianity that I wanted to discuss on here today. So this is going to be a very spoiler-heavy episode. So if you have not watched Obi-Wan yet, and you are listening to this, and you want to watch Obi-Wan, put a pin in this, stop the podcast, pause it, go watch Obi-Wan, binge the entire series in a sitting, you'll thank me later, and come back and listen to the rest of this episode. So without further ado, let's get started on today's topic. So as I said, I was watching Obi-Wan, and from the first episode, you see that he is a broken man. What happened with Anakin at the end of episode 3 was definitely having a major effect on him. Like, you could see it just in the way Ewan McGregor portrayed Obi-Wan throughout the series, is just as broken as a shell of his former self, was phenomenal. I talked about on a previous episode about my personal interactions with PTSD. And I think he portrayed that perfectly, but from the nightmares to his daily actions to just every little facet of detail, he had it perfect. And I was just, oh, I love the way he portrayed that on screen. But not only do you get that, but you also get to see the live action Inquisitors. And like episode 1, I was like, oh, you got the brothers, the sisters, and you even have the Grand Inquisitor make an appearance, who outside of animation, I think looks a little bit better. You know, fight me if you want. The animation styles for Rebels and Clone Wars have never appealed to me. I still love them both dearly, but I don't know, just something about the animation. I'm not a huge fan. Sorry about that. A little bit of a ADHD moment. But you get to meet one that you don't really see in the shows. And that was, I think her number was Third Sister. I'm not looking at the TV right now and I don't have my notes on me. This is all from memory, so I'm just like thought dumping in this episode. But Inquisitor Reva is the main antagonist of the series, more so than the Grand Inquisitor. I'm not going to give too many spoilers on that part, but she appears in the first episode and she's the main antagonist all the way through, even more so than Darth Vader. As the series kind of goes on, you see her reasoning for doing what she's doing. It's not out of hatred of the Jedi or anything like that. She has her own personal reasons I'm going to get into as this podcast goes. So I have to address the elephant in the room with her before I get started doing anything else. There was a lot of backlash against the show and Moses Ingram, the actor that played Reva. And a lot of it was unwarranted. I thought she was a perfect Sith. Like, I know she didn't carry the title of Sith. She was an Inquisitor. But as far as her motivations, her actions, that is quintessential Sith. I really don't understand how people could have hated on her for what she was doing. Because I thought she portrayed that role perfectly. I loved her character. Actually, I hated her character. And to me, that just shows if someone's playing a villain and you cannot like the character, you can't find redeeming qualities. They are playing that villain right. I mean, I know some villains have redeeming qualities, and it makes you like them more, a la Loki, Killmonger. I get that. But if I see a good villain and I just loathe them entirely when they walk on screen, yeah, I think they're doing a good job. And I have to give kudos to her. She did excellent playing Revo. So going into the actual series now, we see Princess Leia get kidnapped. And honestly, I loved seeing Alderaan on the show as well, because, it kind of gave us a little bit more than bits and pieces that the movies gave us. I'll let y'all get that pun. Appreciate the dad joke. Because all we saw of Alderaan was bits and pieces in the movie. We actually get to see the planet this time around, and it was lovely. And the actress that played a young Leia, she also did amazing in that role. Like, I adored that kid. I would be scared if either of my children acted like her sometimes, but that's kind of the point, I think, of the Skywalker children. They were not, they've inherited some of the best and worst parts of their parents. And that goes as well for Leia, her little adventurous spirit going out and doing her own thing. And yeah, the actress did a phenomenal job portraying how you would imagine Leia being as a child. Again, nothing but praise for the actress. But anyway, she gets kidnapped near the beginning of the series, and the entirety of the show is Obi-Wan seeking after her and helping Bail Organa find her and get her back home safe. And just like I said, spoiler heavy episode. It turns out Reva kidnapped her to draw Obi-Wan out of hiding so that she could get Obi-Wan. So that would draw Vader out so she could take down Vader, because she was a student at the Jedi Academy the night that of Order 66, the night that Vader came through and killed them all. She escaped. Well, not really escaped. She was kidnapped and tortured beyond recognition, and became an inquisitor through that process. It was horrendous to, think about. I mean, I don't know if they've ever shown exactly what they go through on screen. I know you see some of it in the show, and you see a taste of it in the Jedi Fallen Order game, which, again, if you guys haven't played that one, go check that out. It is one of my favorite games of all time. I absolutely adore that game. I love it. I've played through the entirety of it two or three times now, and just it's a fun trip every time. Nothing but praise for that game. But anyway, back to it. So her desire is not to eradicate the Jedi so much as it is to kill Vader. And towards the end of the series, we see her attempt that goal. Vader take her down. She doesn't die. Again, this is spoiler heavy, so I warned you before you got this far. You really should have stopped and watched the show. So anyway, she goes after Luke after that. And I'm going to break this up into her arc and Obi-Wan's arc. I know that sounds confusing because this is an episode about Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I haven't talked about him much. But this is why. She goes after Obi-Wan, or not Obi-Wan, she goes after Luke. And eventually Obi-Wan stops her, and she finds it in herself to forgive Vader and, move on with her life. And I know I'm glossing over a lot of detail and nuance with that, but like I said, I don't have my notes with me. This is me just talking from memory and giving a thought dump. But in doing so, I was like, you know what? That is the definition of the gospel. When Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It's like, that was spot on perfect. The fact that Vader had put her through so much, yet she still found it in her to forgive him and move on. And, just live her life and not worry about, seeking revenge. She learned to let it go and live with it. And a lot of times we forget to do that for ourselves. I mean, well, most of us don't have, a mortal enemy that tortured us for years or whatnot and turned us into monsters. But we still have people in our life that we're holding grudges against. We still have people in our lives that we can't stand to be around. We still have people in our lives that we just don't want to see breathing. Some of you, I mean, I don't think I have anyone in my life like that. But, there are some people that we just don't get along with, we don't like, or have actually done some severe stuff to you. Like, I know people that have went through divorces, that have went through traumatic events, that have learned how to forgive those people and move on and make peace with the situation. That making peace with the situation and forgiving someone is not the same as letting them be in your life. So if you have someone that has actively abused you and you have nothing but hatred for, by forgiving them and letting go of that hatred, that does not mean you have to bring them back into your life. I'm not saying that, because I'm pretty sure Reva did not go up to Vader and get buddy-buddy and try to give him a hug after this, but she made peace with it and said, you know what, I'm moving on. And that's what you have to do in those situations. When you have that hatred and that anger, when you release it, it puts a burden off of you, because I guarantee the person that you have that towards is not feeling it and doesn't care. I mean, by holding on to that anger, you're hurting nobody but yourself. Yes, I know it's hard. Yes, I know it hurts. Yes, I know I can sit here and say, you have no idea what they done to me. You're right, I don't. But that's not what's important. What's important is your peace. And you will never have that peace, the peace of the Holy Spirit, as long as you're holding on to that anger and that bitterness and that hatred. That is, and sometimes it is like supernatural how you have to let that go, because there have been times in my life that I did not think I could ever forgive people for some of the things that have happened. I'm not going into that on air, but just know that I do have some stuff that I found really difficult in my own life. But I can say with authority that whenever I learned to forgive and let it go, that it brought such a peace on me. But sometimes it has to be supernatural. Like you have to pray really hard about it and say, God, I can't do this on my own. Help me forgive this person. Help me see them how you see them. Because y'all, no matter what we do, no matter how bad we have done, no matter the wrongs we have done, God sees us with nothing but love and is beautiful. So if you feel like you're that person to somebody else, just remember God still loves you. And if you have wronged somebody, seek out forgiveness from that person. They may not want you in their lives anymore because of the stuff that's happened. That's okay. Still seek that forgiveness. So that's my spiel on Reva. Now to get into Obi-Wan. Whoa, about fell. Sorry about that. So Obi-Wan's arc, he was seeking after... can't talk today. Sorry, guys. He was seeking Leia throughout the series. And once he finds her, there's a fun interaction between the two. Like, Leia is just as sassy as you would expect her to be at that age. And it was nothing but glorious. I also really dug the shout out to Carrie Fisher in the show, because they named her droid that she carried around Lola, which was a callback to Carrie Fisher's pet bird whenever she was a kid. I know, Star Wars nerd, you're on a podcast called The Geeky Preacher right now. What do you expect? I geek out over stuff like this, and Star Wars is one of my things. Star Wars and Lord of the Rings are something you guys are going to hear about a lot. But anyway, so they have their misadventures going through stuff, and eventually Obi-Wan encounters Vader for the first time, and it does not go well for Obi-Wan. He gets his head rocked, and Vader throws him in a fire, says, you're going to feel what this feels like. He says, why are you the way you are? And Vader looks at him and says, I am what you have made me, which caused Obi-Wan to really have to face his demons. And that's what I think the theme of Obi-Wan's side of the story is facing your demon, because he knows he left Anakin to die. That hurt him down to the core of his soul. And to find out not only was he alive, but he was the terror of the galaxy. And he has been the one doing all these horrendous acts and hurting all these people really shook Obi-Wan even more. And after that first fight, it took the rest of the series for Obi-Wan to gather up and get to the point where he could face Vader again. And it took a lot of courage on Obi-Wan's part, because whenever you get to this point in the show with him, he's essentially disconnected from the Force. Like, you see him struggling to do even the most basic stuff he was doing in the first three movies. Like, he could do hardly anything, and it was hard to watch, because, you know, how could a hero fall so far? But what you have to understand is that, you know, what he had been through had hurt him. I thought it was a good metaphor for mental health, good metaphor for, you know, spiritual struggles. Because once a person struggles with something, Sometimes they feel like they have a hard time getting back in. You know, it's like if a minister or a faithful attendant to a church or a faithful Christian falls into a severe temptation. Let's say they go into a season of alcohol dependency, a drug addiction. You know, they step out on their spouse. You know, they feel like they can't get back in whenever they do seek that forgiveness, and it takes them a long time. The thing is, we have to understand that God still loves them. God still forgives them. Like I said earlier, He sees you as nothing less than lovely, beautiful, and His child. But sometimes we don't have that for ourselves. And Obi-Wan's connect, as you go through it and pay attention to Obi-Wan, go back and watch it again if you haven't watched it, or if you haven't watched it twice. Obi-Wan's separation from the Force was not the fault of the Force, but of his own issues that he was bringing to the table. A lot of times, the only thing hindering someone's relationship with God is them. Think about that. Pause, go back, listen to that again if you need to. But the only thing separating some people's relationship with God is them. But later on, whenever Obi-Wan decides to face him again, like to give the fledgling rebels some time to escape, that's part of the story I'm not going into right now because it's not relevant to the podcast topic. He faces Vader again, this time as a full version of himself. You know, he's back to Obi-Wan. And, you know, the fight goes a lot differently this time. Obi-Wan manages to confront him, fight him, and actually win. I'm not going to go into the full detail. And he says, "I'm sorry, Anakin. I'm sorry, Anakin. You know, please forgive me," as they're fighting. And Vader looks at him and says, "I am not your failure, Obi-Wan. I killed Anakin, not you." You know, he, and at that moment, I think Obi-Wan was both sad, angry, but he also found his peace. Because even Vader looked at him and was able to say, "I am not your failure." So sometimes, whenever you confront your demons, sometimes whenever you confront your past, confront the issues that have led you down whatever path you're on, you can look at them and say, or sometimes it is not as bad as you're making them look out to be. Because just like with Obi-Wan, sometimes we see something we did as horrible, wrong, unforgivable, but that's exactly why Christ came. He came to forgive that unforgivable. He came to love that unlovable and to make beautiful what was once ash. Mean, the Old Testament, I want to say Lamentations, says he will exchange beauty for ashes, an oil of gladness for mourning. So, whatever you think you may have done that separates you from God, just remember it is nothing that can't be overcome. There's nothing that is in you that is so horrible and so terrible that God cannot forgive and God cannot love out of you. I speak from personal experience that there is nothing that God can't forgive in you. And the other part of that, I want to address, I want to say, I know it's New Testament. I'm really bad about locations. I can quote it all day, but don't ask me about locations or numbers. Scripture says that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. That's in Romans, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to go back and double check, and I'll make a post on the Facebook page later with this particular verse. But part of facing your demons after coming to Christ is understanding that you are not who you were. You know, he has made you new. He has made you whole. He has changed you from the inside out. You are a new creation. What that person did is no longer you. Do you still need to seek restitution where you're able? Absolutely. Just to show these people the kind of change that you have made in him. But just remember that you are not the product of your failures. And Obi-Wan thought he was separated from the Force because of his failure of Anakin. That's why he acted like he fell, or why he believed he fell. But once Vader told him, "I'm not your failure, I killed Anakin, not you," you know, it kind of changed Obi-Wan's whole outlook. It kind of transformed him, and from that catalyst between Revenge of the Sith and the older, wiser Obi-Wan we see in A New Hope, which is, I love that movie. I mean, the prequel trilogy is probably still my favorite. I know you Old Testament, oh, not Old Testament, geez, original trilogy ones are going to fight me on that. I get it. I understand the original trilogy is phenomenal, but I grew up with the prequel trilogy, just like my children grew up with the sequel trilogy, and I'm not a huge fan of those, but my daughter Rey is her hero, so I can't really argue. I think it's just what you grow up with. Didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, but yeah. So also this nice little tidbit for Obi-Wan. I don't know how everybody else felt. Please tell me in the comments. How did you guys feel about the Qui-Gon cameo at the very end? Like, that just made the show for me. He's like, Qui-Gon Jinn is probably my favorite Jedi, just like Dooku is my favorite Sith. I'm not even gonna, well, Sith is probably a strong word. I'm gonna say he was a very dark shade of gray Jedi. And if you guys want to talk about that, we will do so on another episode. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode of the Geeky Preacher Podcast. I thoroughly appreciate and love each and every one of you. If you have any questions or comments about today's episode, please feel free to shoot me a message on the Facebook page or on your favorite podcasting app. And please write and review us so other listeners can potentially find this podcast. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, keep his face shining upon you, and be gracious towards you. I pray that you have a great day, you are blessed, and you understand that you are fully loved by Jesus Christ and our Father God. Thanks, peace, and love, y'all.